Well, good morning. Happy Memorial Day. We've got a lot of folks out of town. If you're out of town this morning, raise your hand. I just want to make sure I've got a head count. Glad that you're with us this morning. Happy Memorial Day, as I said. If you, and Billy mentioned it earlier, but if you have and are serving in the military or a family of military, thank you. Thank you for your service. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're really especially glad that you're here, and we've got a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you and would invite you to fill that out, and you can leave it in your seat, or I'm going to be in the far end of the foyer after the service. Would love to meet you if you want to bring your blue card with you then. There is a spot on there you can, if you want to be on our email list, you can put your email down there and check the little box where you'd like to be added to our email list. Would love to be able to communicate with you. We also have a Wiley Methodist app if you would like to have that, which has all of our, you know, ongoing things at the church happening and so forth. So I have, if you come and see me in the foyer, I have a free gift for you. I'm just saying, I have a free gift for you, so would love to meet you. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 20. You know what I wish? Somebody, what do you wish, Pastor? I'm just seeing if anybody's out there, man. You know what I wish? I wish that we had, like, I wish that somebody who had walked with Jesus and been with Jesus and seen the miracles that he performed and watched him walk on the water and raise people from the dead and had watched him crucified and taken down from the cross and put in the tomb and seen him 3 days later walking around and teaching. I wish somebody like that had wrote something down, don't you? If only they had just wrote it down where we could know what happened. Wouldn't that be cool? If we had eyewitness accounts of those things, wouldn't that? Oh, we do. Oh, okay. Well, let's read John, Apostle John. John chapter 20. So, you know, I say that in jest, but I want you to understand. I want to try to drive the point home. We're reading, this is precious stuff. It's precious stuff that we're reading. As a matter of fact, if you are able, rise for the reading of his word this morning. Let's just do that. I know you're kind of like, well, didn't we just stand up? This is worthy. This is special stuff. John chapter 20 in verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came, speaking of the resurrected Christ. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Now notice, he didn't say, "I told you y'all were going to desert me." He didn't scold them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, now this is important, "My Lord and my God." You ever hear somebody say that Jesus never claimed to be God, nobody else ever claimed to be God, that he was God? Read on this scripture. "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. Remember, John's writing this. "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." You may be seated. What? Aren't you glad somebody wrote these things down? Let's pray. Father, we're humbled at your mighty power. We're humbled that you would love a wretch like me. We're humbled that you would dwell inside of us. So come, Holy Spirit, come and speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Cheryl and I were December the 1st, 1992. We were living right over here on Pebble Beach Street. We had a house on Pebble Beach, and we woke up on December the 1st. It was a Tuesday. We woke up and went and looked outside, and there was cars everywhere out in front of our house, and especially at our next-door neighbor's house. Cars everywhere. And we came to find out later that a B-1, who the people living next door, the gentleman was a pilot, B-1 pilot. A B-1 had crashed in the, I believe this is pronounced, Sierra Vieja Mountains, about 150 miles southeast of El Paso. The B-1, after an investigation, they discovered that the B-1, it was pilot error. The B-1 flew into a cliff during a low-level night sortie. I had to look up sortie to even see what that is. Scott, our very own Scott, just retired last week as a B-1 pilot, and now he's going to be a commercial pilot, and you don't get to drop bombs on anybody or anything like that. So it was attributed to, I looked for the picture. I remember there was a picture in the paper of the cliffs in this region, and just, maybe 100 feet or what, below the top of the cliff was, you could see where the impact of the B-1 flew into this cliff. And again, it was pilot error. It was determined to be pilot error. And what struck me was, and as I've talked to different people that are familiar with that crash and what happened, the pilot, the B-1s have instrumentation that allows them to fly low-level flights when it's on and hugs the contour of the earth. And he either didn't have it on or didn't trust his instruments. He trusted his sight, which at night you can't see. He trusted his sight and his instincts rather than these instruments that were designed to keep him safe. Today I'm going to have a little two-week series here, Unwavering Faith. Faith versus feelings is today's message, faith versus feelings. So I want to kind of talk a little bit about what Scripture has to say about both of those topics, faith and feelings. First of all, and I think, I can't remember if this is parts in your handout or not, but this comes out of Hebrews 11. It defines faith for us. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So if we know for a fact that something is for sure, I mean, then it requires no faith. Faith is being sure of what you hope for, certain of what you do not see. And in chapter 11 of Hebrews goes on, a lot of people call that the Hall of Fame of Faith, where it just talks about all these men and women of the Old Testament, of the faith, that were commended for their faith. And then at the end, verse 39 of that chapter says, these, and talking about the heroes of the faith, were all commended for their faith, yet, now listen, this is interesting, yet none of them received what had been promised. So it's speaking of Abraham and David and all of these people that had promises. You know, Abraham was promised by God that he was going to be the father of a mighty nation and all those things. We know that came to pass through Christ. And it says they were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what it promised. They went to their grave still trusting in what they had been promised, but they had not seen. Now, so let's talk about feelings for just a second. This is a passage that is always really stuck out to me. Proverbs 14:12 says it this way: there is a way that seems right to a man. And you could almost say, you know, we feel, we have feelings. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. You know, So as we think about feelings, the thing that comes to my mind is feelings do this, don't they? I mean, you may feel like that God is very much active in your life, very much real, and being on a mountaintop, it's like, man, God is here, God is doing all these wonderful things, and then circumstances can change, feelings can change, the next thing it's like, God, where are you? Our feelings do this, but faith is the solid rock that we stand on. Faith in Jesus Christ. Now, there's a man named R.C. Sproul. R.C. actually passed away just in the last year, and he was a theologian and an author, and had a lot of wisdom that he had. I want to read a quote from him in speaking on this idea of feelings, how we as Christians have begun to rely on our feelings. Many of us, and he calls it sensuous Christians, many of us have become sensuous Christians, living by our feelings rather than through our understanding of the Word of God. Hello. By our feelings rather than our understanding of the Word of God. Sensuous Christians cannot be moved to service, prayer, or study unless they feel like it. Hello. Is anybody's toes getting stepped on yet besides my own? Sensuous Christians cannot be moved to service, prayer, or study unless they feel like it. Their Christian life is only as effective as the intensity of present activity, present feelings. When they experience spiritual euphoria, they are a whirlwind of godly activity. When they are depressed, they are a spiritual incompetent. Hello. They constantly seek new and fresh spiritual experiences and use them to determine the Word of God. I almost need to read all of this again, don't I? Their inner feelings become the ultimate test of truth. Man, if he's not describing our world, I mean, come on. Sensuous Christians don't need to study the Word of God because they already know the will of God by their feelings. I feel like God loves me. I don't feel like God loves me. I feel like going to church. I don't feel like going to church. I feel like praying about that. I don't feel like praying about that. On and on and on, this battle against faith and feelings. So, first of all, as we unpack this a little bit more, the Bible says that faith is about more than our senses. I love this passage that we read today with Thomas. Poor old Thomas, man, you know, it's kind of like he's become, for all eternity, he's become known as Doubting Thomas, you know, because of this one incident. We don't know if that was Thomas's, his M.O. for all circumstances, but we know in this case, he was doubting. Verse 24, now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came, so the other disciples told him, we've seen the Lord, and he said, unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. So there's this sense of this, I have to see it to believe it. The old saying, I have no idea where it came from, there's proof in the pudding. Does anybody know where that came from? Okay. We have to see it to believe it. You know, I tell people sometimes that when we pray and we don't feel like we're hearing from God, you know what sometimes he's doing? He's being silent because he wants us to lean in. I'm getting about half deaf in my old age here. And I do that all the time. When the girls, Cheryl and the girls, they make fun of me all the time because I can't hear. But they'll say something, and I have to lean in to hear what's going on. Sometimes God he remains silent, or he holds the answer because he wants us to press in. He wants us to lean in and listen. I've told this story before, but when I was transitioning into ministry from the computer world, there was a period of time there where Cheryl and I, we knew, we were absolutely positive we had heard from God and it what we were supposed to do. Most of the other people thought we'd lost our ever-loving mind. But we knew we were on track with God, and there was a period there of about a year or so where things weren't happening as I thought that they should, and they weren't rolling, you know, the carpet wasn't just rolling out in front of us the way I thought that it would. And I remember just that, you know, just, man, just getting mad at God, just scolding him. He should have just zapped me. And I remember saying, God, I trusted you. Where are you? I was feeling like he wasn't listening. He didn't care. He walked me out on a limb, and then he deserted me. That's what I was feeling at that moment. And I remember just scolding God, and he should have zapped me, but instead what I felt the Lord say to me is, Jeff, I'm breaking you. And I'm breaking you because I want you to know that I'm all you've got. I'm all you've got. As wonderful as you guys are, as wonderful as my family is, and when it all comes right down to it, God's all we got. And I remember, I've told this before, but I was actually jogging, which I never jog. You know, that shows you how desperate it was. I was jogging out here on the golf course late at night, and I remember scolding God, and he said, I'm breaking you. And I remember just weeping and saying, then don't leave anything undone. Finish the job. I mean, here I am. Do what you got to do. The faith is about more than our senses, what we see and what we feel at the time. Secondly, the Bible says faith is believing in the one that died for you. You know, I tell people all the time, if you feel like God doesn't love you or he's not listening to you, all we got to do is we got to go back to the cross. It's like, we don't ever have to worry about, does God love us? It's settled. He loves us. He is mindful of us. And again, talking to the difference between faith and feelings, I tell people this, and I know it's harsh, but it's just the truth. It wasn't a warm, fuzzy experience for when they nailed Jesus to the cross. He wasn't feeling warm and fuzzy. It was painful. And he did it because he loves us. He did it because he loves us. And so if you ever wonder, you know, if your faith, the feelings are doing this and your faith is struggling, then faith is believing in that one who was nailed to a cross for you. And it's like they didn't drag him kicking and screaming to the cross. He went. It says he was leading the way into Jerusalem to be nailed to the cross for us. If you're ever wondering how Jesus feels about you, go back to the cross because he had you on your mind, on his mind when he was on the cross. Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe, Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, because you have seen me, because you've seen, physically seen, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I would think that he's probably talking about us. Because we weren't there. But I don't know about you. For me, I know what Jesus has done for me. I know that I've said it before, but I was deserving of God's wrath, and I received his mercy. Don't you love that? I mean, don't you love that about God? We're deserving of his wrath. Maybe you're not, I was, but I received his mercy. Faith is believing in that one that gave us mercy instead of wrath, hung on a cross for us. And then finally, the Bible says that faith results in life. Sin, and when we trust our feelings, it's death. But when we have faith, results in life. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written. This story he just wrote and that we just read. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Life in his name. Again, my transition to ministry, I tell you, I've told this story before, but the condensed version is I was so desperate to hear from God at one point where and it wasn't a pouty thing. It was really just like, man, I'm desperate to hear from you, God. And so I felt like the Lord was saying to fast, which it's not a regular discipline in my life. But I think desperateness brings out desperate measures. And it wasn't a pouty thing, but I just said, all right, Lord, I'm not eating until I hear from you. And I didn't know how long that meant or anything. And this is not a boastful thing, because if you know me, you know I couldn't do this in my own strength. But I went 11 days without eating, and I was good. I'd have lunch with somebody, and I'd have a glass of tea and watch them eat, and I was never hungry. And I went home one day, and Cheryl's, y'all know what did I want? Salsa. Chips and salsa, baby. Every good Texan got to have him some chips and salt. So I'm sitting there, and she's got some Mexican food she's made for lunch, and they're having that chips and salt. And I mean, I'm ready to just like put my whole face in that bag. So I told Cheryl, I'm going back to the bedroom. And I went back to the bedroom, and I just began to pray, Lord, either you need to speak to me or you need to take this hunger away from me, because I would really like some chips and salsa, Lord. You think the Lord likes chips? I bet Jesus would like chips and salsa. So, and I just cracked open the Word, man. I didn't know. I just said, Lord, I'm just looking for anything from you. And it fell open to Proverbs 3:5. Most of you know that. Many of you know that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And what the Lord had for me, I mean, I'm kind of, couldn't you have told me that in a day instead of 11 days, you know, Lord? But all he wanted me to hear was, I got this, Jeff. I know your feelings are doing this. I know you don't know that I'm here, but I got this. I haven't abandoned you. Trust me. No matter what your understanding, no matter what your feelings are doing, if they're doing this, trust me. And I've said this to this church before, but you guys are the answer to God's prayer in my life. I wanted so bad to just be a pastor. I just wanted to be a pastor. I just wanted to love people and tell them about Jesus. And he's provided this church. And you guys are a blessing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust faith, not feelings. Now, 2 Corinthians, I've read this passage, but two words have always stuck out to me, but a different one stuck out to me in this message. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. So there's the faith and the sight. That's what always has stuck to me. But what really jumped out at me this time is we live by faith. Faith produces life. It results in life. When we trust in the Lord, it produces life in us. When we trust in our sight, our own understanding, it's death. It's separation from God. Another quote from Charles Spurgeon. This was another, he was a pastor and a theologian that was in the mid and late 1800s. And here's what he had to say about this topic. There is nothing so deluding as feelings. Christians cannot live by feelings. Let me further tell you that these feelings are the work of Satan, for they are not right feelings. Now listen to this. What right have you to set up your feelings against the words of Christ? Woo. Well, that's what we really do when we trust our feelings. We're placing our feelings over and above the Word of God. Because, and I can give you hundreds of scriptures to affirm this, but the truth is God loves you. He's the King of Kings. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the Alpha and the Omega. His blood saves us. I mean, there's all sorts of truth about God, and our feelings do this. And so finally, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 says, so fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So church, you brought in with you this morning, whatever you're feeling, you know, we are emotional creatures. We have feelings, but we can't trust those feelings. We can't trust them. They're not trustworthy. God is trustworthy. His word is trustworthy. If you would just bow your heads with me. Father, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful that you are steadfast, that you are eternal, that you are the way and the truth and the life. What is unseen, what we trust in faith, is eternal. Father, thank you. Thank you for being the rock that we stand on. I pray for those this morning, Father, who maybe perhaps came in this morning with feelings overwhelming them. It could be the feeling of loneliness. It could be the feeling of just absolute fatigue. Like, Lord, I'm just tired. It could be feelings of unworthiness, of shame. Fear for the future. Father, thank you that you transcend our feelings, that you are a good and holy and merciful God. Replace those feelings with faith in you. May we trust in you, Lord, and may we not lean on our own understanding. Praise your holy name. I pray blessings on this congregation, those in this room right now, that they would believe in the one that died for them.